Welcome to Finding Joy with Kara. Today, my guest is Saida Pearsall. She is the founder of Shea Body Works, and like any entrepreneurial endeavor, she has a story. And I'm really thrilled that she's sharing her story with us today. I am so excited to be with Saida Pearsall today. I consider you a great friend, and I've loved your story, of course. From when I first met you, you had at that time just started a business, and that's how we got to know one another, through entrepreneurial networking. So I'd love for you to share how you got started, and also do a better introduction for yourself, background, so forth. I'll let you handle that.
Okay, so we met several years ago through networking, as you said. So I started the company because of my daughter. She was a competitive gymnast at the time, and we could not find any products on the market that would work on healing her skin. So as a gymnast, they use a lot of chalk, and so the chalk is very drying. And then on top of the dryness, she was using the different apparatus, and so it created rips, tears, blisters, and so her skin was in very bad condition. And we had tried natural products that had synthetic ingredients, and nothing would work on her skin. So I was a burn victim as a child, and I learned how to mix natural oils, butters, and gels. And so what I did was I had taken all the knowledge that I had learned from my mom, plus, you know, stuff that I had learned over the years, and I created a product for her. I had my daughter to use the product for a couple of days, and her words to me were, "Mom, you should be selling this." So I started my business because of those words. I was not seeking to be an entrepreneur, make millions of dollars, or become famous or anything like that. I just wanted to put my supermom cape on and take care of my daughter. Family first with me. And so when she said, "Start a business," I was just like, "I don't know anything about business. I'm going to start a business."
Well, I think the reluctant entrepreneurial effort has worked out. You have quite a following now. I love your product. It is like a pedicure in a jar and all the different scents. So I was initially like lavender. And I do like the unscented, because with washing my hands so often, and it's that same stripping, like the chalk. It's like with all of this, the pandemic hand washing, your hands are really suffering. And I love how you, and during this, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I know during this time you've had to support those frontline workers and to donate jars of your product to them, which I thought was just such a great idea. So thank you for doing that. So you went from your daughter urging you to start this business. What were those early steps?
I had, like I said, I did not know anything about business. And so my husband was like, "Research. See if this is something that you really want to do." So I started to research. And the more research I did, the more overwhelmed I felt. And I was just like, "Oh my God, I cannot do this." And I was one woman show. And I'm like, "Man, I've got to make a product. I've got to do the marketing. I've got to do the sales. I've got to do a lot." And so product development and marketing, there's so much, because you want to make sure that you're meeting the FDA requirements. And like I said, I didn't know where to start. And I was reading Black Enterprise. And at this time, there was an article about a young lady named Gwen Jameer. And she was the first Black woman to hold a patent for natural hair care products. And I thought that Madam C.J. Walker was the woman, but she did not have a patent on her product for natural hair products. So on a whim, I reached out to the young lady in the article, and she responded. And so that was like my first mentor in the business. And she was amazing. She gave me a lot of pointers, and she was like, "You need to make sure that you doing A, B, C, D? And she would look over my website. And so our mentorship kind of developed into a friend. And so since then, she has a multi-million dollar company now. She's been on MSN, BC, MS, I think I might be saying the acronyms wrong, but she's been on, you know, a plethora of news outlets. She had, her products have been in movies. She's doing amazing. And locally, I reached out to Amber Blends, and she has been amazing too. Amber taught me a lot about marketing.
Mm-hmm. And this is Amber Crockett of Amber Blends, another homegrown, yes. And she was a masseuse who developed an oil, and her clients were just going nuts. And one of them said, I'm going to market this. What do you think? She was ideal for you to connect with. So, and marketing has been her influence with you?
Yeah, it started out as marketing. And since then we call each other sisters. So we have become like super close. And we would do breakfast, you know, every Saturday, not Saturday, but was it Saturday? I can't remember what the days. I've been in quarantine for so long. Everything is just like together. So, but
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it repeats itself. I just know different clothes. But, you know, we would meet and we would talk about, you know, how's business going? What is your strategy? How are you doing this? And like I said, she broke down a lot of the marketing part for me, like the colors, the fonts, and what's trending. And so I had no idea all of this stuff was happening. But I think that's why people need mentors in the industry that they're in, and not just any mentor. Because when you have a mentor in that particular industry, they can speak to the successes and failures.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
I would have to say women were very, very instrumental in me learning about the beauty industry and about marketing in the beauty industry. And then I reached out to, you know, local entrepreneur groups, and also, let's see, SCORE was instrumental, which is a group where seasoned and retirees that have been in business and business owners, they help out entrepreneurs. And then in 2017, my business was selected, one of the two businesses selected from the state of Indiana as a business champion for SCORE and Walmart. So I have, you know, been on this journey and had a lot of failures and had a lot of successes, but I'm still growing because the industry changes so quickly. And also with social media, it changes weekly, and the analytics part. So it's always something to learn. You think you get to that pinnacle and then it changes. So I am just, you know, on a constant journey, as I would say, an entrepreneurial journey.
I do think it's a journey, and it doesn't end. If you have that entrepreneurial spirit and that desire to engage, and either it's learning new tricks to the trade for your own business, or just connecting with others and giving them advice or receiving that, I think that it's a thirst for knowledge almost, mm-hmm. you know, in regard to that. And a rising tide raises all ships, right? So, you know, the more people that you connect with, the better. And I think it's wonderful that you've had have these amazing women that are supporting you and providing you with that really needed advice, and also being open to receiving it, knowing what you don't know. And many entrepreneurs who encounter even more failure that aren't looking at making it better to turn it into a success.
I agree 100%, because the ego never wants to see failure. And so that's big in itself, because if you don't fail, you don't learn.
Exactly. I see a lot of that. Well, what is next for you? Before you answer that, let me back up a little bit. How has quarantining impacted you? I'm seeing you doing these live Facebook things and presentations, and I love them. So what inspired you and what has changed for you with this quarantine experience?
When the quarantine started, I said to God, save my business. And God spoke to me unconventional ways. He said, serve and the sales will come. I am a very reserved person, so excuse me if I get a little emotional.
Totally safe space to do that.
I'm a very reserved person, so I was like, God, just show me, how can I serve? And I kept seeing these Facebook Live things pop up and people emailing me about things that they could use on their skin while they were in quarantine because they couldn't get their regular products. So, light bulb moment, start a private Facebook group, a beauty page. And so I invited my email list to join and my customers that had purchased like within the last 3 to 6 months. And so once I started the group, I did a video and I asked the people, I said, do you guys mind if I continue to do videos? And they were like, we love the videos, keep doing the videos. So I did one video, then I kept doing them and I kept doing them. And so it kind of caught on. And so people would tell me like, I missed you Sunday. And I'm like, really? Are you guys missing me like that? And they were like DMing, direct messaging me and saying, the information that you provided with us has changed my life. I'm now using more natural stuff, I'm making my products. So that was one thing. I had to create a shift in my thinking and pivot, kind of. So I did the videos and then I reached out to Yelp. And so I was like, I have a great idea. Can I pitch you this idea? And the idea was making skincare products using ingredients in your kitchen. And Yelp Indy loved it. They were like, we have the perfect event for you. We're going to do masking and relaxing. So they put it out there. We had over 100 people to sign up for the event. And she was just like, these numbers are crazy. And I think there were over 40 or 50 people in there. And then people were emailing me as the event was going on saying that they couldn't get in. So I don't know what was going on.
I know. I had every intention. I couldn't figure out how to get in. So anyway, but I wasn't going to bug you during it. And then I was like, oh, okay.
So I was just like, oh my God. And then after the event was over, I didn't realize that the people rate you. So I had all 5 stars and 1 4-star. So I was just like, oh my God, this is amazing that people would even want to create skincare products. But I think the industry is changing. People want to be in tune and in charge of what they're put on their skin. So I think that that's why it was a hit. And we had moms and daughters on, we had men on. And I mean, we had a really good time. And so that was one thing that we did. And then I also did a drive where I asked my customers if they would be willing to donate a jar to first responders. So I had some donations to come in and then I matched the donations. And then on top of the Happy Hands and Feet Balm, I donated lip balm. So we donated to Dr. Lindsay Hayes, I believe. She's an emergency physician in Indianapolis, to her team. So we were able to donate probably about 25, 30 jars and lip balms. And she was just like, her team was so thankful because of the respirators and the masks and everything that they have to put on, all that gear, their lips are extremely dry. And she said, from all the washing, their hands are, you know, are raw and they're in bad shape. And the team was, they were like so thankful. And we were just a small business. If I was a larger business, I would have probably been able to donate more. And there was a young lady I saw on the news, and she was giving out free meals to students. So on my Facebook page, I asked my friends to donate $1 or $5 to this young lady. She'd never know. I didn't know her. I just saw it on the news, and I felt compelled to help. And she reached out to me. She was like, "Thank you, Saida. I didn't know you were doing this. I don't know you." I'm like, "I don't know you either, but I commend what you're doing, and I know it can't be easy doing this during COVID." So I think being burned as a child taught me how to have compassion.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
And so it just taught me to love and always show a human side to everything that I do. So being a burn victim wasn't a bad thing. It was actually a blessing because it taught me how to love and how to have compassion and how to serve. So, you know, I thank God for every experience that I have, good or bad. And I know that He will always, God will continue to use me in any and everything that I do. Long as I never forget how to serve.
Or forget how to be grateful.
How to be grateful.
What a beautiful story. No apologies. No, that was great. Thank you so much for sharing. I think that the amount of negativity in the world right now is being, hopefully will be outshone by the goodness in people, and we'll start to see a lot more of this servant leadership and the swelling of people who are acting like you, and many of us who help and do so in ways that are a little behind the scenes and hoping to make somebody's day or help in some way that lifts one person, a group, a team, a community. And it starts with those little sparks, right? And all those random acts of kindness. And I think that right now, and hopefully perpetuating, that more and more of those efforts are going to be prevalent. And I do think that there's a massive humbleness and vulnerability in accepting those acts of kindness, as well as giving them, so they're not reported on as often as they should. And I always question when somebody does something just for publicity or something. You know, I love it when it's sort of they didn't know we were watching this act of kindness.
Right. And I, you know, emailed the girl to say, "Hey, I'm doing this." I think she saw a post, and I tagged her business in it. And that's how she became aware of what I was doing.
Oh, wow. Well, and even if she never knew, it's okay.
Yeah.
Of course, it's okay. That's lovely. So moving forward, are you going to be doing more of these events with Yelp?
So after I did Yelp, I had, you know, people to reach out to me and ask me, do I do parties? Do I do these things? And I'm like, no, but that could be a business opportunity.
Another marketing channel.
Absolutely. So actually, this will be my trial to see if I can actually pull it off on my own. But Yelp, they were behind the scenes orchestrating and making sure everything went well. So now I'm having to do all the stuff that Yale did for me to see if I can actually pull this off. If I can, then that is another avenue in which people don't have to leave their home. You can host it as a bachelor party, a girls' night out, and bring your wine, your cheese. You don't have to leave your kitchen. And we just have a party. I provide the DIY knowledge and the music. You provide your wine, your cheese, whatever it is that you're going to have. And we're just going to have a good time creating products. So that's one thing. So I am just trying to take this to the next level. Because I like to do shows. And I like to engage and have my customers try my product and do all those things. So with our new normal, it's not allowing me to do that. So I can engage with you on Zoom and I kind of give you a little bit of background about the ingredients that you're using and why you should use them. So that's what we're going to do. That's one of the things. We're hoping to do something else with Yelp, but we'll see, keeping my fingers crossed. And we're just, you know, beefing up our online marketing and getting out in front of the people and telling them why they should buy our product. Like I said, because I'm not in front of people face to face, now I've got to do it a little different and pivot and figure out how this online stuff works. So, you know, it's picking up, but it's slow because online sales are totally different from vendor events and things of that nature.
So have you seen an increase in your online sales from these events and your stronger presence on social media during this pandemic?
Yes, absolutely. I remember someone telling me that, Saida, once you get in front of a camera, people are going to fall in love. I never thought that because I, you know, kind of had this shield up. And being an African-American in business, and this may sound a little crazy, but a lot of times I did not want people to know that I was the owner. Because if they found out I was Black, they would not want to buy from me.
Oh, God.
So.
But now there are many people that feel the opposite, that they would want to buy because of the color of your skin. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great, but I don't want it to be a trend.
Yeah, same.
I want it to be genuine, that you see value in my products and you see value in me as a brand, because I am my brand. So getting in front of people was hard, like I said, because I was a Black woman and I was afraid that once people realized who I was, and it did happen, my email list dropped some because I know people are like, oh my God, let me go to her about page. She's Black. No, not sure if I'm going to buy this product or support. So let me unsubscribe. Or someone emailing me, are you the owner? Yes, I'm the owner. Oh, okay. And unfollow. So that is a normal occurrence for African Americans. And a lot of African Americans, you may not know that they are the face behind the brand because you never see pictures on their website of the owner. It's just generic information. But I could no longer hide behind my brand with this pandemic. I had to get out in front of my brand. So what the real problem for African-American business owners.
What type of reaction? So obviously it sounds like the reaction of you being in front of and being the face of and stepping forward in this way, one, was a very courageous move given what you just shared with me, which I as a white woman, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it is, I've not ever judged a business based on that. So this is shocking to me. I guess I've been ignorant to that sort of response from people. But what shifted and changed within you from a confidence standpoint or courage standpoint once you started doing these videos and standing forward with that sense of pride and ownership? And what shifted for you?
I had to save my business. And like it or not, I'm Black and I make a damn good product.
Yes, you do. It's my favorite. It is my favorite. It is unbelievable.
But I just know that I make a great product. And if you see my skin color before you see my product, then it's unfortunate because you're missing out.
Well, if they judge it that way, it's a total standalone and can compete with anything on the market. And it is just, it's magic in a jar. It really is. I can't say enough about it. And I got hooked on the first time you gave me that little sample. And I'm like, oh, yeah, as if this is going to be enough for me.
My feet. Thank you. You know,
it's truth.
There is so much love in every product that I make. And I would not make anything that I would not use and love. And so that's, you know, that I know what I know, and I know how to make a good product.
Yes, you do. Well, and it's why you made it, you know, like it was originally made with love. Your mom originally made those products, those balms and salves for you to help with your injury when you were a child. And that was all from love. You know, as a mom, you want your kids whole and you want them to be healed. You want them to not have sores. And if there's something we can do for our children, we do it, right? It's just part of being a mom. And I know that you talked about putting on your mom cape, but you have another larger cape for humanity as well. And I love that you are standing forward more and letting your light shine. And it's wonderful when I see anyone living in their truth and being the best version of themselves that they can be. And I may even say that repeatedly throughout my podcast, that these are the people that are part of my tribe and you are part of my tribe. And you are just unapologetically loving, and it shines through, especially if anyone gets to know you. And I have just been obsessed with your grace and beauty, just inside out, and the expression that you have done through your social media posts, whether or not it's influenced by Amber and Gwen and whomever has been helping you. You've listened and you've paid attention. And I find all of your posts to be comforting and uplifting and positive. And we all need more of that in our lives. We all need more love in our lives, period. And if it comes in a couple ounce jar, then all the better. Because then my hands are going to be happy.
And, like I want you to get your happy on.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a delight speaking with you. And I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kara, for having me. And thank you for letting me tell my story and speak my truth.
Anytime. Safe space. I'm so grateful that I'm able to share your story. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Finding Joy with Kara. I hope you continue along your own journey to finding joy.